The bitter morning, the scent of roasted sap, filled a bitsy cafe nestled between a bookstore and a flower shop on Rue La Lumière. It was the kind of road people rush history, without noticing unless their hearts had a reason to loiter. Elena had a reason. Every morning at 8 o'clock a.m., she'd sit by the fogged-up window, her fritters coiled around a warm ceramic mug, staying. She was not staying for anyone in particular. At least that's what she told herself. But verity be told, she was staying for a moment. A face, a trace of commodity her heart couldn't describe but knew it demanded. The cafe had come her haven after a time of chaos. Her life in Madrid had unraveled when her fiancé called off their marriage 3 weeks before the form, citing a lack of magic. Elena didn't scream. She didn't cry. Rather, she packed two wallets and moved to Paris, a megacity where hearts broke beautifully and mended gently. It was in that cafe, on a stormy morning in late October, that the story truly began. The door chimed and a gust of wind swept in, bringing with it the scent of wet leaves and commodity additional. Strange yet oddly comforting. Elena didn't look up at first. She had grown used to excursionists brushing history, loud locals arguing over croissants, and musicians flashing open mics. But this time, commodity dragged her aspect overhead. He wasn't striking in the traditional sense, not model handsome, but there was commodity incontrovertibly glamorous about him. A warm brown leather jacket clung to his shoulders. His black jeans plashed with flecks of makeup. He had the kind of face that looked like it had stories to tell, and not all of them happy. He approached the counter and murmured, "Double espresso, no sugar." Elena scowled, bitter soul. His eyes darted toward her for a split second before looking down. But in that alternate, commodity passed between them. Recognition? Curiosity? She couldn't tell. He took his coffee and sat at the far end of the cafe, coming to a fine bookshelf no bone ever touched. For a moment, she allowed that would be it, an arbitrary hassle, like innumerous others. But the coming day, he returned. Same time, same order, same seat. So, did Elena. They didn't speak for days. Words would have spoiled the ritual. She'd sneak ganders, watching him scribble in a sketch pad that he always carried. He sounded ignorant, but ever she felt like he knew she was watching. One morning, the barista accidentally shifted their mugs. Elena took a belt and nearly choked on the bitterness. "No sugar," he said with a slight boo as he walked once, placing correct mug in front of her. "And yours tastes like remorse," she shot back, surprising herself. He stopped, turned, and for the first time, really looked at her. His eyes were dark, but not empty. She could see storms behind them. "You can taste remorse in coffee?" "Still, yes, if you've had enough of both." That was the first discussion. The coming week, they spoke nearly every day. Not important, just enough. His name was Julian. He was a painter, formerly famed, now forgotten by choice. Fame had drained him. He'd given it all up and fled to Paris for silence and space. She didn't press for further. He didn't ask about Madrid or broken engagements. They spoke about colors, music, and the asininity of suckers trying to fight for motes. One morning, Julian slid commodity across her table, a hanky with a sketch on it. It was her. Not beautiful in the way she imagined artists would draw women, but raw and honest. Her messy hair, her tired eyes, her sad smile. She held a coffee mug in delineation, and inside it, there was a swirling world. "I call it you in a coffee cup," he said, belting his drink like it was no big deal. Elena goggled at the delineation for a long time. No bone had ever seen her like that. No bone had ever tried to. "I don't know whether to thank you or run down." He smiled. "You can do both. That's allowed." That night, Elena couldn't sleep. She goggled at the ceiling of her bitsy Paris apartment, the sketch pressed against her casket. Commodity about him unsettled her. He was like her coffee. Occasionally warm, occasionally cold, but always real. And real was dangerous. But she returned to the cafe the coming morning, as did he, and it continued, day after day, like a routine they no way admitted was sacred. Also came the snow. The megacity turned white overnight. The cafe looked like commodity out of a snow globe. Elena arrived beforehand. shaking flakes from her fleece. She ordered two coffees, one sweet, one bitter. Julian didn't show up. She waited an hour. Two. The barista offered her a croissant on the house, seeing her silent heartache. Perhaps he raffed her, she rumored, forcing a smile. But he raffed her came, and the coming day. And Julian didn't. The days without sugar the cafe felt colder without him. Elena still sat by the window each morning, her hands around the same warm ceramic mug. But it no longer assured her. The seat by the fine bookshelf remained empty, and so did commodity inside her. Days passed. Also weeks. She tried to tell herself it was just coexistence, that he was only a foreigner whose absence shouldn't count. But the more she tried to forget him, the more he filled her studies. Julian wasn't just a man who drank bitter espresso. He'd ever made her feel seen. And when someone truly sees you, they leave a mark. She considered asking the barista if he knew where Julian had gone. But how would that sound? Do you know the painter who sat there for 2 months and no way ordered confection? It felt absurd. She did the only thing she could. She carried on. On her 30 alternate morning without Julian, Elena set up commodity under a coffee mug, a folded paper hanky, with a familiar sketching style. Her breath caught. It was a delineation of her again. This time, her face was turned down, her fritters gripping the coffee mug tightly. Above her head was a single word, sorry. Below it, an address. She didn't suppose. She just ran. The address led to a quiet part of Montmartre, a fading artist quarter, where every wall rumored stories of forgotten brilliance. She stood before a pale blue door, heart pounding, hand raised a knock. But before she could, it opened. Julian, he looked tired, paler, thinner, but his eyes, those stormy eyes, still held their depth. I allowed you come sooner, he said vocally. I nearly didn't come at each. A pause. Want some coffee? She followed him in. The apartment was small and filled with oils half finished, abandoned, or turned to face the wall like recollections too painful to defy. A cat she had not anticipated brushed against her legs. What happened? She asked, breaking the silence as he poured water into a kettle. I got spooked, he replied, of what I was starting to feel, of what I was starting to want. And what was that? He didn't look at her. Commodity real. Commodity like stopgap. She leaned against the counter, arms crossed. You faded without a word. I didn't suppose I merited to explain. That's not your decision to make. Silence. Also, he poured the coffee into two mismatched mugs. She took a belt. It was too bitter. She added sugar without asking. He scowled. Still trying to fix what's the ambi candied? He asked. She met his eyes. Still hiding behind flavors rather passions? He smiled not mockingly, but with relief. Like he'd missed the way she challenged him. They spent the day talking. No pretenses. He told her about the breakdown that made him leave the art world. How one day, while painting in front of a crowd, his hands just stopped moving, like they didn't believe in what he was doing presently. Fame made me unnoticeable, he said. People saw my work, not me. And now, she asked, now I want to be seen. But it's harder than it sounds. She jounced. I get that. I was supposed to marry someone who no way looked past my dress size or smile. I wore the ring but felt unnoticeable every day. They sat for hours, belting cold coffee and sharing injuries they'd no way dared open ahead. No tapes, just verity. Before she left that evening, he handed her a small oil wrapped in brown paper. Don't open it now, he said. Open it when you're sure. Sure of what? That you're not just another sketch in my collection. Back in her apartment, the wrapped oil sat untouched on her office for days. She'd gawk at it every morning, coffee in hand, trying to decrypt her own heart. Also, on a Tuesday evening, she took a deep breath and unmasked it. It was her again, sitting in the cafe, but this time, Julian was beside her, holding her hand across the table. The coffee mug between them overflowed, and from it poured stars. At the bottom of the oil were the words, "You were ending the coffee. You were the warmth that made it taste like stopgap." She cried. The coming morning, Elena returned to the cafe, and this time, she didn't sit by the window. She sat beside Julian. No words. Just coffee. Just presence. But commodity had changed. The silence between them was empty presently. It was full. Full of everything they hadn't said, but eventually understood. The brood promised the days that followed were a fairy tale. They were better. Julian and Elena didn't rush. There were no dramatic affirmations or sudden embraces in the rain. Rather, there were slow mournings, participated silences, accidental traces, and ganders that dallied like an alternate mug of coffee on a lazy autumn. They made a new habit of walking the Paris thoroughfares after their time at the cafe. Occasionally, they'd end up in bookshops. Other times, at art booths near the Seine. Elena would tease Julian about his serious face when studying other artists' work, and he'd call her a snob for refusing to read any book with a romantic cover. But under all the teasing, commodity implied bloomed. One foggy morning, as they wandered to the narrow alleys of Le Marais, Elena looked at him and asked, "Do you ever miss the old life? The exhibitions, the attention?" Julian shook his head. "No, I miss creating with meaning. And I only just set up the reason to do that again." She stopped walking. He didn't notice at first, but when he turned and saw her standing there, her eyes glistening, he realized what he'd just said. "Elena," he began, but she held up a hand. "Don't ruin it within reason," she rumored. "Just let it be what it is." And he did. That downtime was colder than usual. Paris wore a fleece of slate, but inside their little world, warmth grew with every passing day. Julian began to paint again, not for galleries or collectors, but for her. Each oil told a different chapter of their unfolding story, her hand reaching for a coffee mug in shadow on the cobblestones beside hers, two mugs resting on a window stave. Broom rising like dreams, he gave her every one of them. Soon, Elena's apartment came a gallery of love letters in color and brushstrokes. But love, like coffee, must occasionally face heat before it's ready. One autumn, Elena and her call from Madrid. Her father had fallen ill. Without allowing doubly, she reserved a flight. Julian came with her to the field. They didn't say important. Just stood by the departure gate, doubtful how to restate emotion into words. "You don't have to say anything," she eventually rumored. "But if I come back, I'll be staying," he said. "In the same seat, same time, same bitterness." She smiled. Indeed, through her gashes. "Add a little sugar, just in case I need stopgap." He jounced, and she was gone. Weeks passed. Julian kept going to the cafe. The barista, now a quiet onlooker to their story, no way asked any questions. Julian would sit by the window, sketching non-natives in shadows, but always leaving space on his paper as if reserving for Elena. And also, one morning in early spring, she returned. The door chimed. Julian looked up, and for a moment, he didn't believe it was real. She stood there, wallet in hand, hair messy, eyes tired, wearing a smile that could melt frost. "I'm sorry it took so long," she said. Julian stood. "Your coffee's gone cold. Also, let's warm it up." They didn't need dramatic reunions. They sat. They belted. They was together. Some weeks latterly, Elena surprised Julian with her own delineation. Clumsy, uneven lines, and not at all cultural. But it showed two people sitting at a table, holding hands over a coffee mug, while Bitsy stars dance above them. He laughed. "You're terrible at this." "I know," she said proudly. "But the feeling is there." He took the paper, kissed her forepart, and rumored, "It's perfect." Times latterly, long after the cafe had chained possessors and the fine bookshelf had been removed, their tradition lived on. Every morning, Julian and Elena would sit at a new spot, occasionally in their home, occasionally in a different megacity. Two coffee mugs between them, still seasoned with stopgap and memory. They no way stopped drawing. They no way stopped talking. And they no way forgot that their love began with one bitter belt. And the agreeableness that followed.